We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. He also is a barrister, lawyer extraordinaire, all those things. Now, Jeff, you tell the story. Our Minnesota United, our soccer team, was up 2-0 on the Seattle Sounders, the defending MLS champions, in the Western Conference Final, a chance to go to the championship game, up 2-0. What happened?
They imitated every other Minnesota team in existence, and they choked. They lost. And it was kind of, I'm not a huge soccer, I was just kind of following it casually on Twitter, and I started to see some people commenting, like, they couldn't possibly blow this, could they? And, you know, and then I kept following them, like, and I watched the reactions, and a lot of Viking fans were like, welcome to the club.
Exactly. Oh, I don't mean to laugh at it, but geez. And the Sounder team, by the way, has been in the finals, I think, for the last 5 years, and they were the defending champion. So it was a good team, but you're up to, oh, you know what that is? Just like the Minnesota Vikings, the United don't know how to handle success. You give it to them,
that's right.
They get closed out because they don't know how to handle being successful. I mean, some teams never figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, other than the Lynx, there hasn't been a men's professional sports team in this state since that has won a championship since October of 1991 with the World Series, Twins winning the World Series.
And if you go back, there's have not been more than two championships since the 50s when the Minneapolis Lakers were knocking them down. The two Twins wins, 87 and 91.
Right.
Now, last week there was a little bit of a Twitter battle. Well, Tommy Kramer got involved in it because it actually referred to him. A guy on Twitter who works over at Fox 9, he's a producer there, executive producer, gave his list of the best Vikings quarterbacks, his top five, did not have Tommy Kramer in it, which is absurd. Didn't even say, he even said, I don't know that Tommy Kramer's in the top 10, which is beyond absurd. And his reasoning was because Kramer had almost as many interceptions as touchdowns. Apparently, he didn't do his research, the producer, because he would find a number of, more than half a dozen Hall of Fame quarterbacks have more interceptions than touchdowns. And Terry Bradshaw, winner of four Super Bowls, he was pretty much 50-50 on touchdowns and interceptions, as were so many others. It's just Tommy Kramer, now I never saw Fran Tarkenton play here. I started covering the team in 84, and Tommy was really heading toward the tail end of his career, but he, other than the one-year appearance, basically the great year that Favre had and the great year Cunningham had, and that's not really long. I'm talking about longevity. Kramer's the number two quarterback after Tarkenton. He was the best quarterback I saw in terms of, you know, if I want a guy that there's 2 minutes left in the game, he's the guy I want in the game. Other than Favre again,
right.
Favre, and I'd want him over Cunningham, but other than Favre, TK was the guy I'd want, you know, with the ball in his hands. And you have information, 40th anniversary coming up of, and we're like in the middle of this, these two games that he did some incredible things, right?
Yeah, so he has, if you were to rate Tommy's most memorable games, there's three of them, and we're in between the anniversaries of two of them. So the one that he, if you ask him what his favorite memory as a Viking or his favorite game or his best performance, it was December 4th, 1977, at Metropolitan Stadium against the 49ers. So this was the year that Fran had broken his leg and Bob Lee was the starter, Tommy was the backup. And they were down 24-7 with 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And Tommy, as he tells the story, is standing on the sideline with one of those big parkas on with sauna rocks in the pockets. And Bud comes over and says, "Rookie, you're in." And he proceeds to throw three touchdowns in 8.5 minutes. And they come back and win 28-27. And it saves their season because if they had lost to an NFC team, the Bears would have won the Central Division, and that would have been it. So that was that's the one that he, if you ask him, that he will cite as his fondest memory of being a Viking. The one that I think every Viking fan who's over the age of 40 will you know, remember
probably 50 because
what's coming up.
You, if you're over the age of 40, you're watching it.
I was. I remember watching it. So I'm 45. So I was just getting into football when it happened. So I remember. So anybody my age or older will remember the we're coming up on the 40th anniversary of what they call the miracle at the Met, which is when he took them 80 yards in 14 seconds, culminating in the Hail Mary pass that against Cleveland, where it bounced off the defender. Ahmad Rashad grabbed it with one hand, scooped it in, fell, you know, touched his toes down and fell out of the end zone. And they, again, won the Central Division. So that one is, I think, for most people, one of the most memorable moments in franchise history. My dad was actually at the game with my uncle, and my uncle got so excited. They said, dad explained, this is the Met, right? This isn't, you know,
outdoors
U.S. Bank with big, you know, where you can see everything from every angle and big screen color, you know, jumbotrons and stuff. My dad described it as they could tell something had happened because there was a commotion in the corner of the end zone. They figured out that, you know, Rashad had caught the pass and they had won. And I guess my uncle got so excited that he turned around and kissed the woman behind him.
Did they marry later?
No. My dad described it. It was just pandemonium when it happened. So there's those two. And then of course in 86, I think you probably covered him by then when he did the six touchdowns against the Packers, which is still a record of passing touchdowns against the Packers. And I think Burnsy took him out in the third quarter. And I don't know that either of them had realized that he was one away from tying the seven touchdown record that, you know, Joe Capp had matched. And later on now, I think the most recent was matched. It was, I think, Peyton Manning had matched it now.
Yeah, I do. I remember him being taken out of the game and questioning Burnsy afterward. And, I mean, they were up by so much. So, I mean, he didn't want to feel like he was piling it on.
That's also the game where the Packers quarterback, Randy Wright, fainted in the huddle. So it's one of the better Vikings-Packer games. But, yeah, so we're, you know, to make an argument just on statistics, you got a guy that's, you know, for a team that has been a turnstile when it comes to quarterbacks since Tommy retired in 19. He left the Vikings in 89, played that one game with the Saints in 90. For a guy that had 13 years and those kinds of performances, I mean, the guy just got stuck on teams that didn't have the defensive talent that Fran's teams had.
No, not even close
in
to
the
that.
70s.
And now it wasn't...
Tommy caught the tail end of the Purple People Eaters, and then it kind of, you know, the Mike Lynn era took over.
Wasn't the 77 team, wasn't that the team where in the championship game, or maybe it was the divisional playoff game, he just kept following Butt around his rookie year. Kept following Butt around.
Championship game. Yep. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, Butt never put him in.
Yep. Yep. Bob Lee played in the Mud Bowl game, the game before out in LA. The Rams think they thought that they finally had the Vikings because they were on their home turf, and then it rained and they just slopped around for four quarters and the Vikings won. And then, yeah, they got to Dallas for the championship game and they were down like 16-0. And this is, they're at the old Texas Stadium with that weird crown on the field. And Tommy had won a high school state championship there about 6 years earlier. And Tommy's like, but, you know, 16-0, send me in. And Bud didn't put him in. And after the game, Tommy confronted him. He went into the coach's room and said, what the heck? And he said, I didn't want to damage your psyche.
Jeez.
And so I don't, you know, I guess it's one of the great mysteries of why he didn't get put in in his home, you know, in Texas Stadium to try to, you know, salvage
earlier in the year. He had that comeback.
Yeah, it only had happened weeks before.
Exactly, but well, Bud is Bud. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Jeff O'Brien, I like reminiscing that Sounder story against the United. Those poor so and so's. All right, the BS Show will take a quick break, and we'll be right back.